The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day is our Old Testament lesson for the day. Moses' words from Deuteronomy chapter 11, especially these words. It says, "You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way, when you lie down and when you rise." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps one of the greatest responsibilities given to each Christian generation is to make sure that the generations that follow them receive the faith that they first received from those that went before them. Since the Bible calls our journey with God on this earth a race of faith, we might well say that ultimately, when looked at over the history of humankind, the Christian faith is ultimately a relay race. One generation runs its course and then passes the baton on to the next. And so today we stop to ask this question. What exactly should we do to make sure that the baton is not dropped? To make sure that the faith is placed securely in the next generation's hands. What technique, so to speak, is used to pass on the faith from one generation to the next? In a real sense, this was the question that was before Moses in our text as well. Moses stood there with the people of Israel on the edge of the promised land, preparing to enter into it. As he did this, he knew several things. First, he knew that as they entered into the promised land, out of all the people that would cross into the promised land, only two men out of all of them would have eyewitness memory of what God had done in Egypt. And he knew that not long after the Israelites crossed into the promised land, those that had marched with Joshua into victory would be gone as well. Moses had to stop and wonder, how was it that those great stories of God's salvation, the escape from Egypt and the bringing into the promised land, how was it that those two great stories of God's salvation would be heard by those who came many years later? The answer that Moses gave was a simple one, and yet it was quite comprehensive. You see, he taught that the best way to make sure that the faith is passed on to the next generation is not just to have a good education program for children. It's not even just teaching the faith in its purity when the people of God gather for worship. No, it's not even in our day and age simply to make sure that every child makes it to confirmation day. Oh, these are all part of the picture of how the faith is passed on from one generation to the next. But it is only part of the picture. And of course, if we're honest, we all know this. For we all know people that went to Sunday school, that came here into God's house, that were confirmed before the congregation, who no longer seem to be carrying the baton towards that goal which God has given them, and certainly don't seem to be passing along that faith to the generations that come after them. Indeed, we must ask, is there something more that we are supposed to do? Oh, no doubt there will be people in every generation that will fall away from the faith. But we as the generation passing the baton want to make sure that we are doing everything we can to make sure that they receive it into their hands solidly. So what is the most effective way to pass on the faith to the next generation? Well, it occurs when we make sure that our entire lives proclaim our faith. Yes, the faith is passed on most effectively when the people who are learning the faith can see it everywhere they look. That's what Moses told those people that were preparing to enter into the promised land. And I believe it's what God tells us today as we prepare to to enter back into our normal everyday lives after gathering here for worship today. He says that if we want to pass the faith along securely, it must not just be a part of our life. It must be the whole thing. Our faith indeed is to be presented in the very simple things, like the things we wear. The Israelites wore tiny little leather pouches right between their eyes almost that contained tiny little scriptures in order to remind them of their God. For us, perhaps it's a cross necklace that does the same, or a Christian t-shirt we might put on. Our faith may be evident to others and remind us simply if we are watching what we are wearing in general, making sure that the clothes we wear each day are somewhat modest compared to the provocative clothes so popular in our culture. But our faith isn't just to be in what we wear. It's to also be in what we say. Yes, our faith is to be in our words. Our words must be, so to speak, full of faith. Our faith is not to just be something we know in our heads or in our hearts, but something that flows forth from our mouths. We are to talk about it. And yes, we're to do so all day long. As Moses put it, when we're sitting down, when we're laying down, when we're getting up, when we're walking around, those are all great opportunities to talk about the faith. No, we're not just to talk about it when we go to church, or when we set aside time for devotion in our families, but we are to talk about our faith every day when we talk about our day at the kitchen table. We're to talk about it as we discuss our lives and the lives of our family and friends as we sit across on the couch. We are to talk about it when we sit down to make life plans and goals together. Yes, our faith is to be found in all of our words. Our faith also is to be evident in our homes. Our homes should make clear that faith is something that is central to everything we do. In Moses' day, they would take scriptures and inscribe them on the doorposts of their home, once again to be reminded of the covenant that God's people had with him. For us, perhaps it's a Bible that's placed prominently in our home that we use. Or perhaps it's a cross placed upon the wall, or another piece of Christian artwork. Indeed, it could be anything. Anything that says to someone when they come into our homes that obviously our faith is important to us. Most generally, Moses said that if you wanted to pass along the faith to the next generation, that the faith had to be in our heart and in our soul. For as anyone knows, those things that are close to you, that are deep in your heart, are the things that ultimately influence everything you do during each day. And when our faith is near and dear to our heart, it will be seen in everything we do. It'll influence how we spend the money that God gives to us. It'll influence how we treat those schoolmates who annoy us and those coworkers who frustrate us. It will influence how we spend our free time, who we hang out with, what we read. Yes, if we want the next generation to have the faith given to it in purity, we indeed must hand it off to them in everything that we do. Passing along to the next generation is not just simply to have the next generation learn the words of the catechism, but rather to see the truths of the catechism played out in our lives each day. That is when the people will understand that our faith is not just something we learn, but something we live. You and I live in a culture that tells us to compartmentalize our whole lives. We're told not to let our work life affect our home life. We're told not to let our personal opinions affect our relationships. We're told that our lives on the internet are one reality and our lives otherwise are a different reality. And so I suppose it is not odd that we are often tempted to place our faith in certain boxes as well. We are tempted to not let Jesus have free reign and rule over everything, but only over certain things. As adults, it's easy to come here and say the right things at church and look proper, but then to go home and live lives that simply do not match our confession. It's easy to come here and talk about the need for mission work, and then somehow go home and allow our neighbor next door to perish through our silence. It's easy to sometimes think that what we do on a Friday or Saturday night has very little to do with what we do on Sunday morning. Yes, it's indeed very easy at times to let Jesus only have control over a certain part of our lives. It's just as easy to do that when you're a younger person. It's easy to come to Sunday school or to midweek and talk about loving our neighbor, and then go to school and join right in mocking that easy target. It's easy to speak and listen about our faith when there's a special conference or an FCA event, and then to get on the field and lose ourselves and our control. It's easy to gather at church and confess here that as young people, our faith is the most important thing in our lives, and then go out and decide to date someone that doesn't share that faith at all. Yes, whether we're old or whether we're young, indeed, it is easy to try to put Jesus in a box where we want him and not let him affect certain areas of our lives. But God reminds us today that if we truly want that next generation to receive the faith that we have received, we must pass it on to them with everything that we do. Yes, they must see it everywhere. For then they will know that this thing that we want them to have is not just knowledge, that it's not just habits, that it's not just rule. They will understand that the faith, indeed, is their entire life. They will understand that their whole life is to be wrapped up in Christ and Him crucified. And if they realize that, then they will have a blessed life. For indeed, God made clear in our text again today that the blessed life on this earth is not living our lives however we please. Rather, the true blessed life is living our life in accord with God's way, letting our faith have free reign over all the areas of our lives. When we live life like that, we're not giving up things, but we're gaining the very blessing of God for our life on this earth. Yes, indeed, if we wish to live by our own ways and according to our own pleasure, indeed, the Bible tells us today that we are asking for nothing but a cursed life. As today we are told, our whole lives are to be the evidence of our faith. But when we stop and think about that and examine our lives, we will probably each get very discouraged. For each of us knows that there are areas of our lives that are not in conformity to our faith. But realize this. God did not gather us here today simply to point out our failings. But rather, God gathered us in His house again today to forgive those failings and to give us the gift of His Holy Spirit again into our lives, that we might indeed be able to go out and live the blessed life that He gives. If we don't receive those gifts that God gives today, not only do we fail to receive His blessing ourselves, but we also take the chance that the faith that we pass on to those that come after us will not be the same faith that we have received. But if, on the other hand, today we come before our Lord with humility, ready to simply say, I need your forgiveness and I need your help, God has promised to give both, He has promised today through word and through the supper to give you the forgiveness of your sins and to strengthen in you the gift of the Holy Spirit He first gave to you at your baptism. And as He gives you those gifts, they will pass throughout our entire lives. Indeed, the Spirit will have free reign to work on all those areas of our lives that need improvement. And as He does that, we will experience the blessing of God. Yes, indeed, the race of faith is a relay race. The race that we run one day, and the next day we'll pass along the baton to someone else. May we this day receive the forgiveness of God and the gift of His Spirit again, that we indeed can go forward, running that race of faith with great endurance, that we might pass it along to those that come after us. For if we will do that, they will be blessed indeed. And so will we. Amen.